Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Subhub podcast. I'm Dani Moreno.
And I'm MK Sullivan.
And
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2024. Oh, that sounds so weird saying that out loud.
It really does. I keep being like, oh yeah, this year. But then I'm like, oh, that was actually last year, 2023. It's like just a terrible loop of like the I'll see you next year joke in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm almost coming up on, you're pretty close too, because you're right behind me, of graduating from college, almost being a decade out of school. And that's kind of just puts five gray hairs in my hair immediately just thinking about that.
Tommy just turned 30 like last week. And so that was a bit of a big milestone in our household, but I still have 5 months to go. So still in my 20s for a little bit longer, but 2024 it happened fast.
30's weird, I will say. It is like crossing that threshold and realizing that you're still not fully an adult yet. At least that's how I felt. It's like, oh, I'm 30. And I remember when I was younger and I'd hear people say they were 30. I'm like, wow, you're so old. Like, you have so much wisdom. And you just, I know less and less the older I get.
It's so true. And each age, like those decades feel even younger. Every year that I get older, it's like, yeah, 40's not that far.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
But how has training been going, and how's your body doing? Are you healthy?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I, you know, was struggling with like some Achilles issues before we kind of signed off for the year. And the less I take care of myself and the further I run, the better it feels. So I've been doing pretty minimal rehab, just basically as much as I have to. And then, I've been running a lot more, very low intensity, like not really doing workouts, but just running a ton of mileage. And it seems to be working. So crossing my fingers that that's the actual truth.
Yeah.
How about you? How was Christmas break and training in December?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Trying to remember what I did. I guess, yeah, I took the break and then was kind of dilly-daddling. Is that how you say that?
Dibble-dabbling?
Dibble-dabbling?
I like that better.
Dibble-dabbling. And did a couple of races and then kind of just like, yeah, have been taking my time enjoying the holidays and stuff. But as we were discussing at the end of last year, something that it wasn't plaguing me like in a hard way, but definitely the race calendar was throwing me for one. Cause I know things can change and you always have to have room for flexibility, but I do like to have a skeleton for it. And I just feel that I'm in a spot where I am genuinely interested in trying something longer. And just seeing where that potentially could have fit in was just keeping me up at night. Because if it was something soon, I was going to have to shift real quick.
Big time.
Yeah. And so that kept me up for like a week. And then I was able to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember logging on to Instagram and seeing Dani put out a survey on her Instagram. It was like, asking for a friend, should I do Way Too Cool or Black Canyon? And I texted her and I was like, dude, what? You said you weren't doing Black Canyon. And then she's like, okay, that was yesterday. I'm actually not doing it. So talk us through that.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of funny because I think maybe the persona that I put on Instagram is that it is myself. Like I am very uppity and optimistic and stuff. But anyone that knows me personally, I do like trolling a little bit at times and like poking fun and, you know, kind of being like kind of jockey in that way, like game talking and stuff. And anyway, so when I put that up, I was kind of like in the moment, probably having a little too much fun with it. Oh, people are going to think this is great and they're going to weigh in. But I also was on a more serious side, like, oh shit, like, what should I do? Can somebody help me with this? So it was a little bit of both sides of my personality. And ultimately, I guess we'll get right into it as far as, you know, deciding the beginning of this year. For myself, the start line at Black Canyon's just looks incredible on the women's side. And There's stuff that can always happen, as we saw at OCC. That also was an incredible start list, and it still was after even some minor casualties, minus the sub-hub, Jennifer Leichter, etc. But yeah, I just really, I think finishing last year, I'm so hungry to compete. I just feel like my year was a lot shorter. I just want to come out this year with a bang. Look at that start list. I want to race those women. Like, those are some badass women. And for it being like a potential debut 100K, it's a great group of women to just kind of like sit and watch and learn, because a lot of them are very seniors, and then not seniors, that sounded weird.
Veterans
Veterans, it's a better way to put
of
it.
the distance.
Of resistance. Yeah, they're not senior. That's a weird way to say that. I think my mind was still in high school. I'm like, yeah, the high school seniors. But yeah, veterans at the distance, while also having some, potential newcomers to the distance, that I would have been one of them, that like also excited me. But ultimately decided not to, because just the way that my holiday season was shaking up, it was going to be difficult to train regardless. I was spending the holidays with my husband's family, and they do holidays their way, which I love. And so it wasn't going to work out to where I could get in the training in to be at like my best. And I don't know if you feel like this, but like, my name means a lot to me on results list. And I hope that it like somewhat means something to other people too. Like, they get excited about my name. And so, like, if you're gonna beat me, I want you to know that you like beat me, like like in a good shape. I
I
think
mean,
it's like respectful.
it's kind of like what you were talking about last year, that like B races aren't really your thing. Like,
Yeah.
you want to be able to show up on the line because you're going to go hard, whether you're ready or
Exactly.
not.
Yeah, exactly. And so for like 100K debut, I was like, it probably is just too rushed. So I'll
Because
still
this was
be.
like last week of December or something, or like 2 weeks
This
where you were
was,
like thinking about this.
yeah, I think the beginning of December.
So that's
So
like 2 months.
yeah, 2 months, which, you take a taper week, and then, suddenly it was okay, you would have to have, and then I couldn't just ramp up mileage. Right, like that week. So then it was like, okay, you get 6 weeks, and they need to be near perfect for you to like feel really good. And that to me just seemed anxiety ridden to feel rushed.
For sure.
But I'll still be in Arizona that weekend racing Mesa Half Marathon, which is really exciting. So I'm gonna go for a PR there. My goal is to get like as close to 72, maybe under. Oh, that's bold to say. I'm just gonna say close to 72 as possible.
You can do it, man.
Thanks. But where are you gonna be, MK?
So I am actually going to be at Black Canyon racing.
That was my long lead up, like a joke line, just
I love
waiting to
it.
bring
I love
it
it.
up.
I signed up for Black Canyon kind of one weekend on a whim. I just like texted Rick and was like, "Why not? Let's do it." And he actually said yes, and I was like, "Oh no." He said yes. And it was funny because Tommy asked me, he's like, "Wait, is this something you actually want to do?" And I was like, "Well, I haven't like thought about it that much, but it also doesn't scare me, so I guess so." And
Yeah.
so for a couple of weeks, it was kind of that, because I think I signed up in November, early November,
Yeah.
and I was just like, I was still kind of in that weird in between stage with my injury, or I don't even know that you could call it an injury because I backed off before it got bad enough. But I was just like, there's no snow. I miss racing because I thought about it, and I hadn't really raced since Worlds in
Yeah.
June because OCC was like my next big thing, and I dropped out of that. And then I ran Mammoth Trail Fest. But yeah, just felt like it was time to like, I wasn't going to be able to wait until like April or May.
Yeah.
And so, I couldn't really do a ton of intensity without bothering it. And so I was like, let's just try to like run slow like Helen, keep just jog. We're gonna be a professional jogger. And so yeah, I started training for it, and it's so funny. I had like 3 months or something to train for it, and Rick was so slow with like getting me into mileage, and the whole time I'm like biting my fingernails, like, oh my God, is this gonna work? Like, am I gonna make it? Am I gonna have enough fitness? And now we probably started doing big long runs like 2 weeks ago. And so I have five, by the time this episode comes out, 4 weeks left. And it feels like so long. Like I was so worried that I wouldn't have enough time. And now I'm like, oh my God, is this race ever gonna happen? So I'm really excited. It's been a really great way to build like a solid base for the year without putting too much pressure on my brain and my body. 'Cause usually I'm training for like a road marathon or half marathon over the winter. But yeah, since we don't have any like snow really, like I'm gonna be running anyways. So yeah, I thought that it would be kind of stressful with the holidays and stuff, but I've been in this really good headspace where it's just like, oh, I have to run 18 miles today. Like, that's whatever. Oh, the next day's 26. Like, that's fine. And the only day that I felt really negative about getting out for a run was this last weekend when it was so windy that I was like wanting to die out there. And that was just one of those days where like you start mad and people try to cheer you up and you're like, shut up. I don't need your help. I just want to be mad for 3 hours. But like, yeah, I feel like I've been in a really good just vibe of doing lots of mileage, not a lot of workouts, some like zone two stuff, because that's kind of what you have to like be ready to do at Black Canyon is just run zone two for 8, 9 hours. But I'm very excited, a little scared. But I have all-star crew with Helen and Tommy, so I'm in good hands.
Yeah, no, you definitely are. And I think maybe like being scared is just respecting the
Oh
distance,
yeah.
maybe even more so the race, right? Because it's such a great race, great field. And so just respecting that. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
No, I think it's healthy to have some fear around it, but I mean, what you were talking about earlier is like the main reason that I chose to run 100K at all was like, if I'm gonna do this, I want it to be a race where there's people with lots of experience. Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, my first 100K, like, I just go out and run by myself and try to figure it out. This is gonna be like a 9 hours worth of constantly being in the game, trying to figure out racing. Like, is this too fast? Is this too slow? But there's all these people in there that have done the race before or have run this distance like a million times. And so just to be able to like learn from them.
No, I think that's huge. Well, that is super exciting that you're doing it. You're doing the debut, and it's like a month away, officially, almost.
Yeah, when this comes out, it'll be a month away. So I have like two more big weeks of training. And then after that, probably just coasting in. But who knows? Rick likes to throw me curveballs. So.
And are you gonna stick with the longer stuff for the rest of the year?
No. Do we want to talk about our schedules or is it too early for that?
Maybe too early, but
Okay.
I guess I just wanted to highlight that,
Yeah. No,
that,
this will be, we're doing the 100K distance. And then after that, we'll be going down to marathon 50K, maybe a couple like VK or Circ Series type races. And I don't think I'll run anything long the rest of the year.
What if you get a golden ticket, though?
Tommy told me I can't just say no way, that I have to think about it, but no way. I mean, the goal, the plan, the hope is to get a golden ticket, but I'm not running Western States this year.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see after. I
Yeah,
mean,
this
it might
is
just be a
on
glorious
record.
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on record. If you are out in Arizona the second week of February, second weekend, the SubHub will be there. So if you see us, say hi. I'll be out there cheering and crewing after my race. Definitely cheering on my homie MK here, along with some other stellar people in the field. Adidas Terex is coming out in full force. Too, we'll have like a team thing there too. That's gonna be super exciting. Do you have any other craft teammates running it?
Yeah, Tim Tollefson is running it this year, David Laney and Tessa. I
Sick.
think that's it.
Yeah. That's
Yeah.
gonna be so cool. Oh, whoa, big announcement. That's awesome. Let's shift to Troy just because it wrapped up
Topic.
today. It wrapped up
Yeah,
today.
today we're recording this on the 10th, and today was
Yeah.
the last day, the final Jim and Courtney hurrah.
Yeah, which that wasn't too surprising that they were
No.
both dominated, or sorry, both ended up getting voted. But yeah, this is just such a cool thing in our sport because I think they have this maybe like fan favorites in other sports. Nothing really comes to mind, to be honest. Like I know they have like official committees, right, who vote, for example, in the NFL, the MVP and stuff like that, but we don't really have that,
Yeah, and
right?
this is much more of like a, it was a mix of like fans of the sport, athletes, journalists, stuff like that. So
Your
I
mom, your
yeah,
dad, anyone could vote.
hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's I feel like there's not really anything like that
Yeah,
in other
so
sports. Or if there is, you know, just let us know. We don't
yeah,
know.
just let us know. We don't know. I don't watch too many sports on the weekend. But yeah, it's such a cool process. Anyone can vote. You go on to Free Trail. This is the second year. I'd be interested to know what the voting, how many people voted last year versus this year to see like the increase and also just the nations that were represented. But it was this year that they shared with the PTRA and I think some journalists in the space, like some media experts in trail running, that their votes were weighted a little bit more. But how much more, I don't know. So that was an option for PTRA. And
Which is our Pro Trail Runners Association.
yeah, Pro Trail Runners Association.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And yeah, I guess what were your takeaways from Troy? Sorry, I said that in a weird way.
Danny and I have been talking a lot about this week, so excuse us if we've overthought this a little bit, but
Yeah.
there were some disappointing people left out or left behind in this for me, which kind of like you were talking about, the PTRA and some journalists got like a little bit of extra weight to their votes. And after seeing the results, I wonder how many of those people actually voted or were paying attention. I'm not sure, but it just felt like there were some pretty significant. I'll just my biggest one that I was so kind of upset about was how far back Stian Angermund was. I felt he was let me double check
He
this,
was
but I'm pretty
eighth.
sure he was eighth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just felt like after the year that he had to repeat world championship win and also win OCC in like one of the most stacked, you know, men's fields at OCC ever. And at Worlds, just felt like a bit of a snub to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It almost feels that sometimes with these voting people forget the whole year. And then I think it takes potentially like someone who's truly plugged in and like a true fan to even think back to the year before. So to try and like think of Thailand coming to mind. But I don't know. MK and I agree on this. Like it is so, it's getting more and more difficult to be a repeat champion at the biggest races. And for Stian to be a world champion twice. And OCC, it's like he is completely dominant in the 50K space right now. He hasn't been
Yeah.
beaten like in the last 2 years. And yeah, that one definitely felt like a snub for sure, or just overlooked.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this a little bit. I do think that a lot of that has to do with like sponsor
Rank.
coverage of the result itself, because like Tony McCann was fifth place in the Troy this year. Was it fifth or fourth?
Course, which was well
Okay.
deserving. I thought that was a good
Yeah.
spot for her.
No, she was fourth place, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But she won OCC and so did Stian. But Adidas put out a ton of stuff when
Yeah.
Tony won that race. Like it was like for weeks. It was like Tony McCann OCC, Tony McCann OCC. And
Yeah.
so that's at the front of people's minds. And like maybe Stian isn't, because maybe ASICS just didn't put out as much content. So yeah, I think that's a big part of it as well, is like how well does your sponsor or the race that you win do at promoting that win?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, because the same with Tom Evans, who was also voted fourth, Western States, the full video came out
All
afterwards
over
with
the place.
Adidas post, like the teams feeding him images to share and videos to share and reels to share and stuff like that. And I don't know if this is just me, but sometimes I feel that some people get comfortable with seeing the same name. They're like, oh, Steon won. That's not a surprise. You know, whereas like Toni, it's like, oh, breakout race. Like, even though she had already won Transvulcania and had been fifth the previous year, it's like, we have a new champion. Da 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 da. Where it's like, Steon won again. Cool. You know? And you just kind of get used to that. But it's like, no, that is like true exceptional work to be at the top year in and year out. And like, and then on top of that, this year was extra special. But anyways, okay. Obviously, you could tell our hearts are a little broken that Steon went so far back.
We're fine. We'll be okay.
We'll be okay. Another one we were a little heartbroken that we wish had been potentially, I don't know. I'd love to see if they went down to like top 15, but Patrick Kipnino, incredible year.
Not even there at all.
Not even there at all. Maybe
Also
it's,
repeat world champion.
yeah, repeat world champion. Yeah. And part of me is like, is that name recognition sort of thing? But anyone who was plugged into the Golden Trail World Series would have known he was there like the entire time.
I mean, because he lost to Philemon at Sears and all, but not by that much. It was like 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And otherwise he had like a fantastic season. Didn't he end up second overall Golden
Yeah.
Trail World
I was just
Series?
about to say he ended up second overall in the World Series. And like if you look at the women's side, Sophia and Judith both made the top 10. And it's like, yeah, anyone in the top three at the Golden Trail World Series probably had at least one, two phenomenal races to like get them in there.
Like Remy obviously had, in my opinion, the performance of the season at Pikes Peak Ascent. Patrick was like 4 minutes behind him, second place. Still a phenomenal performance for somebody who's that was his first time at that race.
Yeah. So those were a couple people. Clementi, we also thought maybe we'd see her in the top 10. She won at Worlds, was the overall World Series champion in sky running, which there weren't any other sky runners in the top 10. So I just believe that's a series that is potentially overlooked, maybe just more for lack of understanding like the full length of the competition. But like you take someone like Antonio, who was also the World Series champion, who also podiumed at OCC, you can see the athletes that are competing at the Skyrunner World Series at the top, the most top level. They can do anything.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, especially because OCC is such a runnable course compared to like a sky running race. Well,
Yeah.
compared to most races, it's a fairly runnable course for how steep it is. And for him to have that kind of range to be able to do both so well, like just shows that these sky runners are good athletes.
Yeah, hella good athletes. So,
Another,
oh yeah,
I
go
think our
ahead.
last group that we were kind of like a little sad about was like the CCC athletes.
Yeah, we felt like they really got snubbed.
Like Emily Haugood, Ingvild, because Emily even ran Western States and had a really good day too. Jian Shen was fourth at States and second at CCC. Like, where were those people?
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, you know, you look at the list and you're like, yeah, these are all phenomenal athletes who had incredible years. And, you know, naturally, for the races that we are most interested in, we think of those athletes top of mind. Because, you know, admittedly, there was a few athletes who were on the top 10 where I was like, oh, I actually have never even heard of those races. But people who do those longer races are like, obviously. You know, why wouldn't they be in the top 10 over, you know, maybe some of the names that we mentioned? So I think it's just going to show the sport is getting bigger, more competitive.
It's also just huge. Like we have so many different specialties.
So many different specialties. And like to me, I'm like the closest thing that I think of automatically is track and field, like trying to pick the overall athlete. And I think there's always, again, like free trail I don't envy Dylan at all, but I also like a million times thank you for creating this because we can have fun conversations like this. But I think of the World Athletics, they put out their top athletes of the year, and even people were like, why are they getting picked over like so and so and so and so? It was like Mondo Duplantis and the marathon record breaker, at least on the men's side. And
But
people were like,
they
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
even they like they had to split. So originally it was just supposed to be one athlete of the year. And at the awards, they announced that they were splitting it into field, track, and off track. So basically like road. And I don't think the athletes knew that ahead of time. And so they even like decided to split this award into three different sections, which kind of makes sense, but I still think that there should be like both. You know, like you need to have like a field,
The
track, and
overall,
a marathon, but you also should still have an overall. Because a lot of the athletes who were nominated for these awards were upset because they were like, I was ready to be the athlete of the year.
Yeah, that's so true. That's right, because it was Noah Lyles, Mondo Duplantis, and then I
Was it
feel bad because
Kelvin?
he's newer.
Kiptum?
Yes. Oh no. Yeah, Kipton. Chariot is his like the other name. But yeah, so maybe we have, how would you split it? It can't just be sub and ultra because now we have like super ultra. Maybe that's what
But
it is.
yeah, I don't know, 'cause they do have like obviously we already have Ultra Runner of the Year with Ultra Running Mag, and like Tommy and I were kind of talking about this yesterday. Like a 50K is still technically an ultra, but it's not something that will ever really be. Like if you're just a 50K athlete, you're not going to be taken into account for that award. Like you have to run like 100K to above 250. Jeez.
Yeah, I honestly think it's a lot in the last couple of years too that the way that we race 50Ks has just become so much more closer to a marathon than 100K. Like way more aggressive, faster, high octane than it was even like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
So
So that's probably why it gets lumped in.
maybe it needs to be split up like Worlds is, where you have like long, short, mountain, basically. And vertical, I feel like, could be a part of mountain.
Yeah, basically the UTMB divisions.
Well,
Maybe.
it was
Actually,
still
not
fun.
quite.
I had a lot of fun voting for it. But hopefully we can get more people out next year.
Yeah, definitely. That was really cool. And congrats to everyone who was in the top 10. It was really fun. I had fun listening to each of the podcasts, more so because I'm like, what are they racing next year? And I'm not giving anything away, but Sophia Lockley in her podcast said that she was going to do like a quick turnaround from skiing to actually doing the April Golden Trail World Series races, which I didn't think she was going to do those at
That's kind of
first.
mind-blowing.
And so I was like, damn, let's go. Like starting the season hot. So I'm excited to see that season start earlier and her already be in the series, whereas the last couple of years she's kind of been like in the later races and stuff. So yeah, that's super exciting.
Speaking of Golden Trail.
Yeah, great transition. Yeah,
Oh.
Golden Trail. As we said in our last end of year episode, I think we did, they released their calendar, which they're starting in April this year. They have eight races. And now we can officially say, because it's on the website, that it is a minimum of four races
To
to
qualify for the
qualify
final.
for support for the final. No, you could still qualify for the final, though, if you're in the top 30.
Yeah, I think that you have to run a minimum of four for them to support you to get there. Well,
Yeah.
minimum of four, and you have to be in the top 30, obviously. So to qualify for the final, you have to be in the top 30 no matter what.
Yes. Yeah. Which, like, you're a baller and you win two races, you might find yourself in the top 30.
Yeah, even without four results. So, how do we feel about a minimum of four races? Because I think that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like a power move to get people to really commit to their series. So, like from an athlete standpoint of someone who wants to dabble in multiple series, it's not the best rule. But from their standpoint, I don't blame them. It's like, hey, we're creating this content. We're supporting your way. Like, we want you to be in a one monogamous relationship with Golden Trail. We don't want to see you anywhere else but on Golden Trail. So I could see why they're doing it like that.
Well, and I think also if you're an unsponsored athlete and like you're trying to get a sponsor, like it's probably best that you do these four races anyways. If you're a sponsored athlete and you don't really need support to get to the final, like, do what you can. But if you're an unsponsored athlete and you get to do four races and then also run the final, that's tons of content, tons of racing. Possibly it's getting paid for if you're doing well enough. Like, that's pretty cool.
And honestly, with the three races, I didn't do it last year, but the two previous years, you can always run. The rule was that you could always run more than races, and it was your best three results.
I
And
imagine it'll be the same.
it'll be the same. Yes, you can do all eight races, and then they pick your best result. And so, if you are a newer athlete and you want that support and you commit to the four races, what's kind of nice is like you kind of have an extra opportunity for points. I don't know how to say this, but three races is a lot of pressure to get three races right. Whereas like you have four chances to get, three really good races and like an opportunity to get. So if you have like one bad race, it's like no worries. Does that make sense?
No, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's good and bad, like we were saying. I mean, Golden Trails, they know what they're doing. They're gonna get athletes to come to their events and it's gonna work.
Yeah, I will say though, one more pro potentially that I wasn't expecting is that we'd heard about the Asia races, and when they first came out, I thought it was going to be something similar of like a 20K and then something longer potentially. But the two races or the three new races this year, they're all pretty short. Like they're all like 20K. So it's not like you're doing like eight marathons in the year, which is
Yeah,
kind of nice.
your only long races really are the marathon distances, which are Zagama and Mont Blanc Marathon. And they're like kind of in the middle of the season. They're still kind of early, but in the middle of the calendar. So, if you that's probably why somebody like Sophia Lockley is choosing to do the races in Asia, because then you get two short races. Maybe she doesn't do either of the long races, and then she does like the two American races or something, which are also fairly short. So you're not really beating yourself up too much.
Longer break in the middle. The last con, I feel like I just said the last pro, but the last con I was thinking was initially like competition dilution of, oh, there's eight races, people can pick and choose. But the sport is getting so insane that, even a couple years ago, it was kind of like Nike and Mod, which races are they going to? Those are the two of the main players. Obviously, more people get introduced as the season goes on. But like even before the season is starting, I'm like, there's like 10 women that can win a race, no matter if they were all in the same race or in separate races. So yeah, maybe that'll be more of a hot take, but I do think that is also a potential pro, is that it will make the last standings more interesting.
Another good thing, and maybe this was something they always did, and I just like wasn't paying attention until this year, but like when I first started trying to get into Golden Trail World Series, like I just signed up through Mont Blanc Marathon and happened to get a lead entry and then did really well there and then was kind of thrown into the Golden Trail World Series loop. But they just put out on their Instagram this week the link for elite registration. So if you're interested in joining the Golden Trail World Series and you think that maybe you deserve some support or like could use some help, we'll put the link in the show notes, but they have a sign up where you can put like, I want to run these races, and based on who signs up, they might help you get to some races. If anything, they might help you get a bib, which is always one of the harder things to do in this sport these days.
Don't be surprised if you weren't part of the series last year if you get zero assistance, because they get priority. They're pretty loyal to their people, which is nice. But yeah, a bib is a huge win for sure.
And if you get top 10 at a race, you're probably going to get support for the next race. So extra motivation to train hard and race hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Sick. All right. Let's go through the rest of these series.
We got Sky Running and Sky Masters. We kind of talked about this a little bit when we interviewed Clementi and Antonio at the end of the season, but they announced their schedule and it is huge. It seems like they added a ton of races, but we did, or they finally posted their rules for how to get to Sky Masters, which is kind of the end of the season big shebang, although it is a little confusing because there are other big shebangs in there as well. So we'll go through these a little bit, and if you have questions or if you think that maybe you know a little bit more about it than we do, let us know on Instagram. So the first way to get to Sky Masters is to compete and complete at least three of the Sky World Series Sky races, and there are 21 total in something like 10 different countries. So you have plenty of chances to try to get to Sky Masters at the end of the year.
Yep. And then if you're in the top three of a nominated race in a Skyrunner National Series. So there's a couple of national series. There's Austria, Brazil, Bulgaria, Italy, and Spain, where they have their own collection of races. So think of this maybe like the Golden Trail National Series versus the Golden Trail World Series. It's kind of like another way for athletes to punch their ticket to the finals if they don't have the ability to travel to these international races. So they'll pick one of those races. Huge downfall
These,
here. There's only five.
yeah, these it, like it's an interesting mix because Austria, Italy, Spain, obviously like very Eurocentric there. Brazil and Bulgaria, like two very out and left field kind of countries for me in terms of having a national championship, but cool.
But
Like
cool for
I like
them.
it, but
Yeah, it makes me think of like if we were like, hey, can we make the Skyrunner National Series? Then they say, okay, cool. You know,
yeah,
like you
like,
asked to collect the races or something. I don't know.
yeah, very cool that Brazil has a Skyrunner National Series. Like, I feel like I want to go compete in that.
It.
Oh, if only I was a confident Skyrunner. The next one is top three of a final ranking Skyrunner National Series, which feels the same.
Ish, yeah.
So top three at a specific race in a national series, and then top three overall in that series is, I guess, how that should be taken.
And then the sky running, there's the Sky Running World Championship this year. It's in Spain, Soria, Spain, September 6th to 8th. There's a VK, an ultra, and then, you know, like a sub ultra race. And so if you finish in the top three in any of those races, you'll get to go to the Sky Masters. We don't think this timing is great, but personally, if I were someone who really wanted to be at Sky Masters but didn't want to compete in the series all year long or do three races, I personally would just go to this race and try and get top three and then do Sky Masters and then call that my sky running commitment for the year. So that is cool. You could kind of like shortcut it in a way if you go to these World Series. This isn't to be confused with the Sky Masters Championship. So there's the Sky Masters Sky Running World Championship, and then there's the Sky Masters Championship, which is the final of the World Series.
The whole conglomerate
The
of
whole
all of
conglomerate.
it. And then the final way to get in is a finish. You have to finish top three at a Sky Running Continental Championship, but we couldn't find information on those races. So we're actually not sure what those are.
Exactly.
Or they just haven't been announced.
Or they haven't been announced. So it's cool. They're providing a lot of opportunities for people to get to the Sky Masters final. Something cool is that the prize purse is a lot bigger this year. They haven't announced officially how it is broken down. But in my opinion, they also did an elite application. In my opinion, way too early. They closed it like beginning of December, which I think most people are like, their brain is shut down at that time of the year and not really thinking about I need to be applying for races, etc. But it's cool that they're trying to get more elites involved, and professional athletes, and then yeah, just more money. I see that trying to like compete with Golden Trail, to be honest, is, well, if we don't get them immediately, maybe if we throw some hundreds in there, they'll come.
And honestly, they've been slinging on Instagram too. Like they are all over Instagram. If you are interested in skyrunning at all, go follow their Instagram page because I mean, they put out just as much content as Golden Trail does these days. Maybe
Definitely.
even more.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the skyrunning Instagram. It makes me feel cool.
It's inspirational for
I'm like,
somebody
I
like
totally
me.
do that too. Mom, this is what I do. She's like, no, you don't. I'm like,
No, you
yeah.
don't. My mom would be like, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, let's let don't. We want
I
you to have all of
was
your legs.
it's like, I'm a big fan of Karina. This is what I'm gonna do. Yeah.
Oh,
Okay,
man.
cool. So that was Golden Trail, Sky Masters. We're almost there, folks. But first episode of the year. WMRA, World Mountain Running Association. What's up? They released their calendar. Yay. But there's only one race in the US, which sad.
Well, technically two, but it's the same weekend.
It's Broken Arrow, which that's pretty cool. Broken Arrow, you can double dip this year. You could get WMRA points. I think it still is Golden Trail National Series for America, but you could triple dip. And you could potentially qualify for a USAT.
NACAC.
Yeah. So big
Go to
race
Broken
to show up.
Arrow.
Sign up. I think it's already sold out, but get on the
It
wait
is.
list.
Yeah, get on the wait list. If you probably that probably won't even work at this point. If you hadn't heard about Broken Arrow until just now, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Because the wait list is like probably 800 people deep.
What? No
Not that
way.
many, but it is a lot. I think it's like over 200. So
What?
yeah, it's a very popular race for good reason. We've talked about it before. Broken Arrow really puts on a show. It's a lot of fun. But Valseer Mountain Running World Cup this year, Broken Arrow on there twice. We got Austria, Portugal, France, Italy, Switzerland, Spain, Slovenia. Lot of options.
Dang.
And after watching like Christian Allen and it was mostly just Christian Allen this year, tearing it up on the Valseer Mountain Running World Cup. I want to see more college athletes at these events.
Yeah, just rip it. Go send it, rip it. Like, go test yourselves because there's many, many incredible athletes who do these races. I would say potentially more Eurocentric, but they have a lot of history to them. The records are probably held by either Mpogo or Patrick now. So if you take down a record, you're taking down one hell of an athlete's record. Andrea Mayer's name is all over the place. So if you want to test yourself and really see where you're at and like get a lot of races in a short amount of time, like WMRA is the way to go for sure. It's kind of like when track athletes go over for the summer, I would think. You can just like rip one every weekend.
Yeah, for sure. 'Cause there's 4 weekends in a row in July.
Sick.
There are 3 weekends in a row at the end of August, beginning of September. So you could just make a trip out of it.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Yeah,
July.
I like when they do that. I mean, Golden Trail's really good about that too. Like, making the shorter races closer together so that you can do multiple instead of having to travel back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
Because that is expensive.
That's expensive.
But
That's WMRA. I don't know if they have elite applications, actually.
I don't
I
know
think you reach out
either.
to the, actually, you could reach out to, I think it's Jonathan Wyatt through WMRA, through the website, and they do have elite things where that you tell him what races you want to do, and then he'll connect you with those race directors. So, yeah,
We'll try
go
to put
check
that in
that
the show
out.
notes as well.
Show notes link, let's do it.
Show notes. This is going to be a busy show notes, you guys. So I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because we're helping you out. We're trying to get you
Yeah,
into these races.
we're doing the
Because
hard work for you, so you're welcome. Because it's really, really hard work.
yeah, sometimes some of these websites are very confusing. So I guess final schedule, but we're not actually going to talk about it, is USATF Mountain Ultra Trail. release their calendar. And it's not that we don't want to talk about it, it's just that we are recording an entire episode about it. So
Yeah.
look forward to that in a couple of weeks.
It'll come out 2 weeks after this one, the last week of January. So we'll go full in depth how they pick these races, what races they are, why you should go to them, etc. So I'm really excited about that. That's a sick episode.
Yeah, me too. And I think this is like our final application that you can sign up for. We did, have a couple of lead applications in here, but Trail Team, as of today, their applications are open for the Trail Team and they close on February 4th. And if you don't know what the Trail Team is, it is a group that's trying to mostly encourage like collegiate athletes, post-collegiate athletes to get into trail running, and that is run by Andy Wacker with a couple of really good mentors. I wonder if they're going to change their mentors every year or if it's going to be kind of consistent.
I don't know, but I'm
I feel like
curious.
at this point, it's probably going to be pretty consistent because there's still not that many athletes in the sport that have come from the collegiate system straight to this.
Yeah.
But maybe as the years go on, it'll cycle through or something.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. And oh, what a huge year they had. The trail team was so strong. Christian Allen, Mika, Anna Gibson. I know I'm forgetting people, but like those names immediately came to mind. I think Sam Henry potentially was on that original list. But many of them made Team USA. They were on
Or
gold
Team
and turtle
Canada.
podiums or Team Canada. Yeah, they kicked ass this year. Congrats, Andy and team, for just absolutely crushing it.
I doubt we have very many like collegiate athletes that are listening to this podcast, but if you know a collegiate athlete that you think is trying to get into trails or is into trails, Trail Team application is open until February 4th. So we will also put that link in the show notes.
Love it. Should we take a break for our sponsorship message before we get into hot takes?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Never Second. The brand came on the market 2 years ago, as some of you may have already noticed, and since then they've had huge success in the endurance world. They started in cycling and triathlon, and now they're working with some of the biggest names in trail running, like UTMB champions Katie Scheid and Jim Walmsley. Never Second is an easy-to-understand fueling system because they help athletes determine when to take their nutrition and how much to take, which is incredibly important in any endurance sport. Never Second uses a modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your need and activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. As a professional athlete, I was introduced to Never Second about a year ago after a rough race at the Mont Blanc Marathon. I was trying to take in gels that required a lot of water, but without a crew and the fact that there weren't enough aid stations to adequately match my intake, it became quite the struggle of a day. After that experience, I started using Never Second in training because their liquid gels weren't as sticky and require less water and are much easier to get down, making my race day and training nutrition immediately more successful and simple. Their gels also contain 200 milligrams of sodium, which is a real bonus on hot days and especially humid days if you're me. And if you want to try Never Second, just head to neversecond.com. That's never NEVER number 2.com. NEVER number 2.com. And use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all of your orders.
And we're back. All
Oh.
right. This is, I think, something we're both really, really excited about. I think Black Canyon's MK debut is a huge announcement to kick off the year. But also to coincide with the Happy New Year is we want to talk about what we're really excited about for this year. And just like lukewarm hot takes, maybe they're pretty obvious, maybe they're cold takes, but just some things we're interested in the sub ultra trail and mountain space. So MK, you want to kick us off?
I think you should kick us off with this first point.
Okay, This one has been plaguing my mind for like weeks. I think I've texted this same point to MK maybe 3 or 4 times,
She's
but
like, when are we going to talk about
yeah,
this?
I really want to talk about this. But this is kind of my theme for 2024. My prediction is that it is now the turning of the tides and it's the end of dominance. And I think this applies to, I believe this applies to the entire sport, that we're going to see a more variety of champions for races because the competition level is just increasing so fast. But I think also people are becoming more distance focused. And if they are versatile, it's like very much with intention of like helping the area that they're really interested in. That's not to say I still think we have versatile athletes who are exceptional in all of the distance, no matter what. But I do think people are getting more intentional with their calendars. And the reason I thought about this was Golden Trail World Series, biased, immediately was thinking about the women who I've been talking to are signing up for the series, and it is just blowing my mind. And I really don't think there's going to be too many repeat winners. Let's throw some of these names in there.
I think
Sophia
you're right.
Lockley. Thanks. Okay, so it wasn't so hot.
No. Well,
But it's
maybe for
like,
us, but
yeah,
yeah.
maybe. But it's like Sophia Lockley, Judith Wider, Grayson Murphy, crickets in the grass that she's signing up this year and going full force. Maud is apparently back, which, Maud shows up and she's ready to game. Madalena Floria coming off of a hu huge finish to the Gold Trouble Series, and she's out training in Kenya, like all in. I'm excited to see where that goes. Nike Brinkman coming, planning to come in after the Olympics. Like,
Damn.
holy moly, my brain is just blown.
And even like Miao Yao, like we have two races in Asia, a race in Japan and a race in China. There's probably going to be other Asian athletes that show up to those races and either win or just surprise the heck out of us. And the same
Totally.
with the race in
Poland.
Tatra, Poland. Yeah, like who
Yeah.
knows?
Yeah. And Sierra Zanel, you always get, attendance from more African athletes at that race, who,
Yeah.
like, usually that's like their first race of the Golden Trail World Series. So I'm sure that we'll find more stars there. You still have Kasang.
Polaris, yeah.
Polaris Kasang, I'm sure she'll back up. But yeah, the list just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, because she didn't get to compete in the two American races because of like a visa application thing. And so,
Yeah.
like when we interviewed Patrick, he was telling us, watch out for my teammates. And so I'm excited to see like how many more of them show up to the races this year and are able to like compete the whole season.
Yeah, because then it's mimicked on the men's side too. I mean, Patrick and Umbogo, if they're like in on the series, which it sounds like they are, like they pushed Remy,
They
they were
were
the only one.
rolling on him at Mammoth before they got lost. Like I was a
Exactly.
little concerned that Remy was gonna get caught for the first time in who knows how long.
Yeah. And then just a plethora of other athletes, Eli Hemming, Christian Allen on the American side, both on the American side. Yeah, it's gonna be insane. So that's my prediction for 2024.
I like it. And I would love to see Christian Allen in more Golden Trail races. We'll see. I know he just had kid number three like last week. So, not sure what your schedule looks like, but we would like to see you at Golden Trail. Cool. Next hot take. And I think this one might actually be a hot take for some people. UTMB races are still going to be competitive. Like, I know that it's contentious right now. There's a lot of stuff being thrown around on Instagram and a lot of controversy, but one, I don't think that it's as big of a concern in Europe as it is in the United States, which is a big part of it because we are just a small part of this sport, especially the UTMB realm. And second, it is where a lot of elite athletes make their money and their name in the sport. What
Yeah.
are your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, it is very contentious right now, and I think you summed it up. I mean, just talking to European friends, it is some of them don't even know or like recognize what's going on in the United States because it's not even really discussed over there, or at least the angst that's going on over here towards the series. And yeah, contracts don't change overnight, and for a lot of people, this is their livelihood. And so that's just a big mark to the season. So if there is going to be change, I don't think it's going to be within this next year, unfortunately.
No, I
Oh, that
mean,
sounds so pessimistic.
it does. Winning one of these races can literally change your career, like as an athlete.
Yeah.
So it's hard to turn away from that, especially if you feel like that's something that is within your reach. Myself included, like I will be racing OCC this year because I know that if I could win that race, like that's huge. It's huge monetarily, but it's also huge for like just my career in general, longevity wise. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very recognized. Yeah, no, I'm signed up too. I think, yeah, there's been a lot of athletes who have posted that they're not going. I wouldn't even say a lot, maybe like a handful. And there's a lot of athletes who are very quiet right now. I think just because it's a hard time to be in the sport. Like people are trying to save the best parts of it for sure, which I think is really admirable. To try and preserve the spirit of the sport, but it's also at this nexus where it's, you know, the professionalization, monetization, et cetera. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And I had another thought about it. I just forgot.
I was going to say that, like, for most shoe brands, that's one of the biggest weekends of the year, not only for their athletes, but also just for like expo purposes.
Yeah.
So most brands are not going to actively be like, yeah, don't go to that.
Yeah. And a lot of them already booked a year ago. Like,
Yeah.
as soon as the event this last year ended, they're already booking chalets if they haven't already for the next year's event, already planning shoe launches for the next year's event and stuff. Oh, I know what I was going to say is because I said that sounded a little bit pessimistic about. You know, the change in everything. But I was trying to think of it and like, it's not all bad because UTMB has made changes
Yeah.
so far. It shows that they are willing to make changes where it makes probably the most sense for them, but they are willing to do it like with the pregnancy deferral, etc. It's probably a little bit later than people would have preferred, but they are making the changes. And so I am curious if the discussion continues with them, with the PTRA, which is like a huge part of those discussions now, also
Yeah.
where implementations could be or changes can be implemented going forward.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, this might be pessimistic also. I don't know that as elite athletes, like we necessarily have that much say in like how other people feel about this race, but I do think that as the PTRA, we can put more pressure onto series than we used to be able to. So I think it would almost be more effective to use like our collective voice in that sense, and just demand more from these series instead of maybe backing out of them fully. Because I mean, you and I talked about this offline. Like, if the top athletes at any of the world majors dropped out of, like, even if all of them dropped out of Berlin, for example, most people are not going to care about that. Like, they've worked for years and put in their names in like a million lotteries and paid for extra tickets and all this stuff to try to get in and get their 5 stars. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, after 5 years, I finally got in, but I'm not going to do it because Shalane Flanagan's not running or whatever. That's outdated, but.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I would say the same with the Boston Marathon. There's not
Yeah.
many people who can even name last year's winners, but they
Yeah.
know that their uncle ran it and qualified, you know, and did that, and that they want to do it now. So yeah.
So yeah, don't drag us too much for this, but
Yeah,
those are our
don't.
opinion, those are our hot takes and opinions.
Please still follow. No, I'm kidding. That sounds desperate. No, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And yeah, I guess the last thing I want to say is just like, I think maybe exercise empathy like towards the professional athletes who are trying to navigate this space right now. Like it does feel like we're walking on eggshells, which kind of sucks because it's like our passion, but our job, you know? And so making these really big business decisions that also unexpectedly are now tied to a lot of emotion and like fear of like in hashtag being or in quotes being dragged or
Canceled.
canceled is really hard
Yeah.
you know, as you're trying to focus on preparing and doing what's best for your running career. So anyone who has a job, you know, maybe exercise that empathy and think about like if this was your job, it's tough to navigate. So patience with the professional running group. If there's some people who haven't said anything at all, like they're just processing it. It's a lot to take in. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of on a more positive note.
Let's shift it to something more fun to close it out. Oh yeah, but Sophia, yes.
Yeah, a couple of things to close it out. One thing being huge congrats to Sophia Lockley. She just won her first World Cup. She's the youngest American to win an individual cross-country World Cup or Nordic skiing, which is insane,
Sick.
but not that surprising knowing who Sophia is.
Yeah, I whenever I see her age, I forget she's like tw young 20s.
I mean, but we also, I think, forget that she's only really been around since like last summer. Sorry, 20 summer 2022. The see you next year loop is like stuck in my head. Summer of 2022 was like her first like big race at Broken Arrow, but it feels like she's been around forever to me because she had such a big year this year.
No, that's huge. Love those cross athletes. I'm interested to see how Remy season will get going with his races too. And yeah, okay, last part, super fun. Me and MK, we aren't just fans of trail. Like I think we're overall just running fans, running nerds. We love following all the things running. And I recently was following World Athletics and they were doing kind of like these fantasy races. So for example, Warholm, who is the Norwegian 400 meter hurdles world record holder, versus Monda Duplantis, who is the world record holder in the pole vault. Like, what if they raced 100 meters? Like, who would win? And it's really fun to see people kind of chat about this. And so we were thinking about our fantasy matchups for this year. So to close it out, MK, you want to give one of those?
Yeah, I still haven't thought of my women's one, but maybe I'll come up with something while you're talking about yours. But my men's matchup, I want to see Jim Walmsley v. Remy Bonnet at the marathon distance. I think that would be so fun. Obviously, Remy's very good at like that 30K distance, but he's also good at the marathon. But Jim is also very fast. Like he was an Olympic trials qualifier in 2020, so he can obviously win UTMB, but I think that would be an insane matchup.
Yeah. What sort of race do you think is a fair wheelhouse for both of them?
I think marathon distance, but like pretty hilly, something along the lines of like 10 to 13,000 feet of gain. So I don't
Oh,
even know that a race
dang.
exists out there, but it's
Yeah.
got to have a
Okay.
lot of climbing, but it still has to be a shorter distance.
Gotcha. Okay. So more climbing than Marathon Mont Blanc.
Yeah, or honestly, Marathon du Mont Blanc might be like the perfect matchup because it's like what, 9,000 feet,
Yeah.
8,500, something like that.
Yeah.
Could be fun. Jim Walmsley, sign up for Marathon du Mont Blanc this year.
Yes, please make our dreams come true.
What about you?
this one isn't quite sub ultra, but I'm just dying to see this matchup is Petter and Adam Peterman. So Petter Engel, CCC record holder, Adam Peterman, Western States champion, multiple course record holders of many courses here in the US. And yeah, Adam, he won Thailand as well, so he is a world champion, but he hasn't done too many other races overseas. And I just am hoping this is the year that he gets to do it. He's been in Chamonix the past 2 years. And so, yeah, I would love to see the matchup. I don't know if Pedder's running CCC, but that to me, they just seem very evenly matched for that distance. Yeah. And then for the women, I'm cheating, but I have three. One of them is Sophia and Grayson in just like a cutthroat 20K high octane
Literally any
climbing
setting, we're
descent.
ready for it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some sort of action beginning the Golden Trail in April. Who knows? We'll see the list when it comes out. It usually comes out within like the next month of what everyone signed up for, and then you look to see. So yeah, Grace and Sophia, the American sweethearts at the sub ultra distance, and then personally, the 50K start list from this year at CC OCC. I just want another version of that and add in players like Judith, Clementi, other people from the Golden Trail. And I just think that is just an insane 50-ish K mountain race.
We're gonna maybe get some of that this year.
Yeah. Judith and Clementi are both qualified for OCC.
Yes.
Yes.
Very exciting. So on the women's side, I'm trying to think. So we've already seen like Courtney DeWalter come down to like the sub ultra distance and race those women, and she did really well. She got like I think ninth place at Zagama. So that one, I feel like I don't want to do like a Courtney V somebody, but I'm trying to think of somebody at the longer distance that I would like to see, like maybe, but also we've seen Blondine do that. I feel like women are like the women's side of things. There's a lot of like moving back and forth. You saw Katie Shai do it this year. Obviously, that was a fantasy matchup that worked out pretty well for her.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nobody that's like, do you have one?
it's kind of cheating, but it was like again, like the USA women's 50K realm is just so strong right now. Like I wish there was a world championship this year that, we get all those women again plus a couple extra. Yeah, that's hard. Honestly, I'd love to see Yingvild in like a shorter mountain race. She crushed CCC and then she came and did a 50K, and that was like the 10th top performance of the year. So,
I was gonna say like Ingvild versus Sophia and something in between.
that'd be
Because Ingvild
sick.
is really fast as well. Like she's run 237, 238 in the marathon.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah.
don't know, guys. Sign up for some shorter races and we'd like to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, cool. I think this is great for our kickoff episode. Again, welcome back, 2024. Next week, we will have an episode with our partner, Never Second. So please tune in to that. And it's going to have a lot of juicy info on nutrition, fueling, planning, etc. And then after that, we'll have the USATF Mutt Running calendar kind of expose. I don't know why I said that word.
Rundown? I
Rundown,
don't
rundown.
know.
Nice. Cool. Well, thanks again. This has been the SubHub Podcast brought to you by Free Trail.
Please like and subscribe on our YouTube, our Instagram, and we'll see you next week. Just a reminder that if you want to try Never Second, just head to neversecond.com. That's NEVER number 2.com and use code SUBHUB25 at checkout for a 25% discount on all your orders.